Shit, I'm getting a flash of triple red.
Suddenly, one of the tripod-mounted security lights exploded in a blaze of blue sparks.
Oh my! I do believe the Indians are upon us!
Within a heartbeat and a half, all the lights were extinguished and the area was plunged into darkness. Though Ryan and his people were on their feet, guns in hand almost immediately, Hellstrom remained seated. Floor and the Sekhmen, however, ran to and fro across the campsite. Ryan peered into the encircling shadows, trying to force his vision to quickly adjust to the sudden darkness. Hellstrom rose from his chair and nonchalantly ambled into the AMAC.
Set up a fire zone inside the perimeter!
Ryan and his friends took cover beneath and to the rear of the AMAC. They looked for something to shoot at and saw nothing. The M249 opened up, smearing the darkness with bursts of orange flame. Blur dashed to the Sekhmen behind it and dealt him a fierce kick in the ribs.
Headshots! Headshots, you piece of feral shit!
Ryan's eye grew accustomed to the gloom. The moon and the stars provided just enough light to make out the dim shapes of trees, brush, and the sloping valley walls looming on either side. JB elbow-crawled up beside Ryan, his teeth bare and a humorless grin.
Maybe we should have taken out Joe when we had the chance.
We don't know it's the Sioux out there.
I do now.
If that's the war party we saw today, then we've got about 24 to contend with. We're bastard outnumbered.
Ryan reflected that if the Sioux were looking for scalps, the shaven-headed Sekhmen would be grave disappointments to them. On the other hand, he and his people had full heads of hair of varying colors, lengths, and textures, and they might present a terrible temptation. Christie's copper mane in particular would be a valuable prize. He hoped that if Touch the Sky was with the war party, he would recognize them. An instant later, he hoped the opposite. The Lakota had warned him and his people about Hellscale, and he probably assumed they had thumbed their collective nose at his words of caution, and therefore deserved everything that might come their way, including scalping knives. Ryan hefted his six-hour in a two-handed grip.
Lay down a firing pattern. We may not know where our targets are, but we got a pretty good idea of where they're not.
The others followed suit, aiming into the gloom at different angles. Doc's Lamar was fairly useless as a long-range weapon, but its blasts provided them with a psychological edge. Suddenly, the campsite was filled with running, shooting, half-naked men. Not only did they carry automatic rifles, they carried tomahawks, knives, and even a few feathered lances. Their faces were painted with ferocious designs. They bounded and leapt too quickly for Ryan to get an accurate count of their number. The defense put up by Hellscale's Sekhmen was disorganized and sporadic. They retreated toward the WAG, half-heartedly fighting a rearguard action without watching one another's backs or even taking the time to aim their weapons properly. They were in great danger of catching each other in a crossfire. Ryan and his friends were veterans of dozens of battles, and they rushed out into the campsite in a wedge formation. JB took the point of the V. Mildred, Christie, and Jack waited until their targets were clearly framed in their weapon sights. Ryan hung back to cover Doc while he adjusted the position of the Lamaze firing hammer. The double-barreled weapon could be fired like a shotgun, or once the hammer was repositioned to fall on the revolver chamber, to fire 9.44 caliber rounds. Fleur drilled one of the Sioux through the back of the head with her Beretta. She whirled on Christie as the Titian-haired woman put a 38 caliber slug in the center of a warrior's chest.
God damn it, I said headshots!
You don't tell me to do anything.
Ready and able, though not particularly willing.
Doc followed Ryan out into the battlefield. Ryan saw one of the warriors rush toward Christie. Before he could shout for her to watch her back, a rush of bodies knocked him sprawling, and a heavy weight dropped directly onto his back, driving him face first to the ground. Knees pressed into his buttocks, and a pair of large hands closed about his neck and squeezed. Ryan managed to roll over onto his back and look up at the hate-twisted, paint-distorted face bobbing over him. The warrior thrust a knife blade for Ryan's throat. Ryan wrenched himself aside, and the edge of the blade skimmed the side of his neck as he triggered the Sig Sauer. A crimson spray burst from the bridge of the warrior's nose. His grip loosened. Elbowing the dead weight from his body, Ryan rolled to one side. He sighted a Feather Detect man, leveling a rifle at him. Ryan rested his pistol on his wrist. The campsite was bloody chaos. Jack snapped his right arm, throwing one of his leaf-bladed throwing knives. With a blade held in his left hand, he expertly slashed the throat of another attacker.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.